And what parts of the brain would you put an implant in to monitor someone's vision?
The vision part. it's called V1, and it's an area of the brain that's responsible for vision.
And what part of the brain is that?
It's a part of the cortex.
The cortex? Is that near the eyes?
No, not necessarily.
Okay. And what about to monitor someone's thoughts? Like the brain, if someone, where, what part of the brain?
Everything that's happening is someone's thoughts. So it depends what you're, you know, what you're talking about. You know, the prefrontal cortex, which is closest to the front part of your brain, your eyes is typically thought of as your decision-making center. So that would probably be the best spot.
And what about for hearing? Would it be?
This all comes down to where the where the neurons are most active in the brain for doing different functions. So where the neurons light up most for hearing is where you'd want that chip to go. Vision, same answer. Decision making, same answer. Movement, same answer.
Okay. And how many neurons do you need to connect to make a brain gate function?
Surprisingly few. It can be as few as a couple of dozen, up to, you know, I think at Duke they measured up to a few thousand, and didn't see much difference. The level of complexity was much greater in terms of implanting the system. Duke did it with monkeys, versus what we've done with BrainGate, which is a single chip. But the impact wasn't any greater. So it turns out you need access to very few neurons, again, because they all light up in effectively a network effect. They're all associated. So you just need to tap into the overall connection and interactivity in the right spot. You don't need to get them all.
Okay. And how long does it take to put one in someone?
It's reasonably quick. It's, you know, the surgery is done within a single day.
And what kind of, does it take atomic microscope? How would you actually be able to see to attach a neuron to a...
You're really looking for placement, and again, I'm not a neurosurgeon.
Okay.
It's brain surgery. You lift the skull. You go towards the spot in the brain, and then you place very carefully the microchip in the right spot. That at a high level is what they do. Again, not a neurosurgeon, so
okay.
Personally performed one, but it's a lot more complicated than practice. But it is not a other than the fact that it is brain surgery, it is not a highly complex surgery.
Okay. And how are the neurons actually attached to the wires? I assume they're called wires before they go into the implant, or?
Well, again, we're talking, you know, neurons are absolutely tiny. The placement, basically, you're looking at a electrode, a microchip the size of, call it an eraser, on the top of your pencil. And on there, you see 100 spikes, think of them. That's probably the best way to describe them. And you basically push those spikes into place, on the brain. There are 100 billion neurons in the brain with over 100 trillion connections. So it's hard to miss them. These spikes are designed to feed into those neurons. And then from there, either you have a wireless connection into a computer, in one instantiation, that BrainGate 2, the FDA trial that we just got approved, is looking at doing this wirelessly. Or in the earlier version, you probably saw it on 60 Minutes a couple of months ago when we were featured. The 60 Minutes version was a system that literally connected your brain to a computer with some rather heavy and elaborate wiring.
Okay. And what about the potential for advancing, say, a public speaker or a politician to be able to, you know, like if you're in a debate, you know, almost instantaneously be able to ask questions without verbalizing, you know, I need information on who was the president of, you know, some country 15 years ago?
Well, it's very much science fiction at this point. That said, and you know, this is something that that Sergey Brin and Larry Page have been fond of for years. These are the founders of Google. You know, there is the potential to connect all of the world's information to, you know, to your brain through the internet. So, arguably, if you have one of these brain gate technologies that we're building that is in your brain, and you can wirelessly connect to the internet, you can gain access to all that information.
How many years off do you think that is?
Well, in limited instances, we can do that now. With the patients that we've been using, that they're able to type on the internet, type an email with their mind, with their thoughts. They're able to log on to a browser like Internet Explorer and surf in limited capacity. But in terms of being able to do this for the masses, you're talking about years and years, because it has to be safe, it has to be foolproof, and it has to be simple. And this involves brain surgery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are the dangers of brain surgery and putting in an implant?
Well, again, brain surgery, it runs the gamut. If something happens to your brain, you could be in serious trouble. I don't even know how to answer that.
Yeah.
Brain surgery.
Okay. I understand. And have you ever been approached by law enforcement folks about trying to look into people's thoughts?
No, I haven't.
Okay, but you know that desire is out there.
Oh, I suspect it is.
Okay. And what about some of the more potentially nefarious uses if someone were to, say, put these in someone's brains against their will or consent?
Always, you know, it's always a possibility, it's always a risk with any new technology. Hey, when they invented the wheel, as good an invention as that was, there was always the risk that it could do harm, be used for tanks and to, you know, and to wheel in any, you know, cannons. There isn't a technology or an innovation out there that can't be used for good or evil. It depends on the intentions of both the inventors and the people who use it.
Yeah.
So mine is not to speculate. There is far too much good that this technology could offer to, you know, to think about or concern yourself with potential harm.
And I think it's just about. Oh yeah. Let's see. Going to my list real quick. What about? Is there a potential of increased risk of cancer? Brain cancer?
No, nothing that I'm aware of.
Okay. Yeah, it does seem to me like a really phenomenal potential. People with, you know, people blind, or could the same thing with someone's deaf, being able to allow them to hear?
In theory, absolutely. And in fact, the cochlear implant, which is a very popular device with those that are, you know, are close to deaf, is a brain implant. So it's rooted in that same technology.
Oh, is that something that's already widely used?
Well, very widely used.
Okay. I'm just, as you probably noticed, I've been focusing a lot more on environmental issues, but I'm going to be doing a lot more technology writing. And so,
it's a fun topic, and I certainly look forward to seeing your book or wherever this ends up, I think.
Yeah, I'll be doing magazine articles and a book, and I'll send you copies, of course.
Yeah, please do. I look forward to it.
Thanks. And do you have any closing comments about the potential of this technology?
No, I mean, I think you said it best. I mean, it's got tremendous potential. Now it's time to see if we can realize some of that potential.
Okay. Thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, appreciate it. No, I enjoyed the conversation.
Thanks, and I'll send you copies of what I get published.
Please do. I look forward to seeing it.
Okay. Thank you.
All the best, Chad.
You too. Bye.